Again, we have confirmed there is one deceased person. Our gunshot wound total has went up to 22, and Chief Grundison will provide a little bit more context to that. Right now, we're still working on a total of number of victims. This is still an active investigation. I do want to comment on the question that I got earlier about a video of some fans tackling someone. We do have three persons detained and under investigation for today's incident. We are working to determine if one of the three are the one that was in that video where fans assisted police. Our investigators are working with all of the surviving victims to connect them with loved ones. We are also working to identify our deceased victim so we can notify their family as soon as possible.
So that was just horrible yesterday with the Kansas City Chiefs parade. And that's law enforcement there that was giving you the latest on that. And they still haven't released a motive. And there's it's weird how there was such a rush to get out information. And then they decided to, then it just kind of went away. But they're blaming a dispute. At the very least, they're saying it stemmed from a dispute. Honestly, it sounds like gang violence. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. It's the very top of this first hour on Thursday. And that's the top story today. We're also going to get into some of the latest with the Russia threat. And it was just so weird to see so many people freak out over some of this stuff, especially the Republican who sits on the Intel Committee. And it just seemed like a big move to push that Ukraine supplemental, but we're going to get into all of that. But immediately, the same predictable people who went to go and who love rushing and they love politicizing tragedies and they love doing all of that, they immediately were out doing the same thing again. And before even facts were known, before anything about the suspects were known, that's exactly what was happening. And so the latest with this, they say that it was that it looks like it stemmed from a dispute. It injured 20. There were 9 kids in the hospital, one fatality. 3 people, including 2 juveniles, were detained. They recovered several firearms. They did not identify the 3 people, although there's tons of photos out there that are kind of showing exactly who was in handcuffs and who wasn't. And so they said that 8 people had suffered immediately from life-threatening injuries right after. 7 had life-threatening injuries. 6 were hospitalized with minor injuries. 11 children injured. And some of the injuries, too, stemmed from the hysteria that was understandably happening after, after the shots rang out. But they had a 40-year-old Wichita man who tackled the murderer. And he was restraining his hands. He said, I started hitting him in the ribs. And he said he was doing everything he could just to neutralize him. And this was him talking to the press. This is audio soundbite 4.
One guy was hollering, saying, stop him, catch him, tackle him, whatever. And he's just bailing, running. And out of nowhere, I heard that guy hollering. So I'm just like, okay, well, I'm right here. And I didn't think about it. It was just a reaction. I didn't hesitate. It was just do it. So I went to go tackle him, and another gentleman did the same thing. And as I'm tackling him, I see his weapon either fall out of his hand or out of his sleeve because he was wearing a long jacket or like a Carhartt. So when I seen that hit the ground, I'm like, oh, we got to take this guy down. And so, like I said, I did, and another good Samaritan did, and we held him down. Mm. And it seemed like forever, but it probably wasn't. It was like 30 seconds holding him down. And me and the other gentleman are hollering at ongoers, where's the cops? Get the cops over here. Get the cops over here. We got them.
Yeah. And now, I'm glad they did something. I'm glad that he was able to neutralize the threat. What gets me, though, is the argument that I'm hearing from so many of these anti-gun folks. And we're going to dive into some of this. Like, it. All the police that were there and they didn't stop it because you have to be your own first responder. Really, you cannot count on. I mean, you're making the argument for everyone, but it was. I mean, it's pretty immediately they started in before we knew anything. And like I said, it's fascinating to me how it was wall-to-wall coverage, and understandably so, but then it's gone today. It's entirely disappeared. Everybody's talking about this Fannie Willis trial. I'm going to be honest with you, the trial of her lover. I don't care. If you're looking to me to give you minute-by-minute updates about this trial, I don't care. I'd rather literally peel my own skin with an apple corer than I would cover that, because it's to me, the 180 that they did on covering this story coming out of Kansas City is amazing. Now, and I covered this case in my first and my first and second book on how much the police are allowed to, or how not allowed, the legal requirements of protecting your life as it pertains to police protection. And a lot of people, I think, we're going to dive into it. I want to touch on some of this other stuff, but we're going to dive into all of this stuff. Also, the Russia threat. This is kind of this is crazy. This was happening literally yesterday as we were, we were in like the third hour of the program, I think, when it came out. And they had a briefing in the SCIF yesterday, House members. And now you have Speaker Johnson saying there's no need for public alarm. Now, what he's saying is entirely different from what you had some of these other lawmakers saying, including the Rhino, Mike Turner, who's on the House Intel Committee. And Mike Rhino from Ohio he's a Rhino. This is the guy who's voted for Ukraine spending. This is the guy who's voted for all of it. And this guy coming out and being as, I think it was absolutely irresponsible for him as a lawmaker and as a public person and as a thinking adult to come out and be as hysterical as he was and get everyone to freak out and worry. That's ridiculous. I can't stand that kind of drama. And politicians should be publicly flogged for trying to incite hysteria into the American people. It's insane. And Johnson said, quote, I saw Chairman Turner's statement on the issue, and I just want to assure the American people there's no need for public alarm. That's what he told everyone. He's like, we're going to work together to address the matter as we do all sensitive matters that are classified. So they're not declassifying anything. And he's very politely slamming Turner there, saying, no, there's no need. There's no need for this. So it seems as though it was kind of overblown, doesn't it? Well, they were saying what? That they had space weapons? Right? Yeah. Rail guns and all kinds of stuff. Maybe they have all that. There was a lot of hysteria over it. And then there was this one theory that was going around on social media where they were saying, did Russia take out a U.S. satellite? Oh, there was a satellite that fell off the coast of Hawaii, you know, last week. I see all kinds of theories, all I know is that you can't trust anyone, and I'm sure as hell not going to trust a guy who has pushed Ukraine funding and funding for Gaza and everything else above that of our own border. I'm not going to trust the hysteria coming from a guy like that. But Johnson says, look, there's no need for public alarm. He says that it's not, he said that people should not panic. That's unequivocal. That's what he told reporters in a statement just yesterday evening. He said, yes, he said that they're going to discuss it. And it's something that it's a product of the House Intelligence Committee, he had said. But he said that there's no need for people to panic. And he just sort of seemed like he wasn't trying to be insulting about people's concern. But he did seem a little bit miffed that perhaps Turner was so hysterical when he went public and released this statement about it. Because it was irresponsible. I'm nothing shocks me anymore. So in addition to this, you have Tucker Carlson over, and released these videos where he was talking about the metro, the subway system in Russia. Did you guys see this? Like he's been releasing these little videos where he's talking about all of this stuff. And I was watching this video that he did where he was in the subway system and he's marveling at how pretty it is and there isn't a subway in the United States that is this nice and this clean. And that is this beautiful. And I was thinking about the history of that particular subway station that he was in. The history of it's quite interesting because it was built by Stalin. And of course, Russia's being a heavy-handed tyrant country. I think the areas where they're going to have tourists are areas where they want to make it look nice. like, you know, North Korea does. They want to make it look super nice and super clean and everything runs on time, because there are certain things that they do prioritize, you know, maybe a little bit over the well-being of their people. But that metro station that Tucker was in, and I'm pulling, because I actually had read something about the labor that Stalin's Russia imported in from the West. And I had actually read a few weeks ago a whole thing on this. And I just thought, huh, the timing of that is so amazing. So he's at the subway station in Moscow. The subway station was built by Stalin, and it was designed and mostly built by craftsmen that they brought in from England. So Russia relied on the capitalistic West to bring in all of these architects and these tradesmen and skilled laborers, because they apparently didn't trust their own talent in Russia. They entirely brought in designers and labor from London, and they relegated specifically the murals and a few other basic things to their Soviet employees. So I just thought that was kind of interesting that he left that out of the video, because it's a beautiful subway station, but it was built by the West. It was designed by the West. It was conceived and brought to fruition by the West. And here's what's interesting. So as these British contractors and designers and architects, as they're building this beautiful subway station for Stalin's Russia in Moscow, they were accused upon completion of being spies, and a lot of them were jailed. Can you imagine? Like, they were brought, their architects, their designers, their consultants, you know, all of this stuff. They jailed them. They jailed them. They put them in jail because they said that they knew, since they charged them with espionage and said that they knew too much sensitive information about their transit system. But you brought them in to design it. That's what Russia did. So if you want to marvel at Moscow's subway station that was built by Stalin, you're marveling at a creation entirely of the West, that the West conceived, the West built, and the West implemented. So I thought that was a fun history about that train station. Oh, interesting. We have a lot more on the way, including headlines to get into, because it's... And then, of course, we got Days of These United States. We got updates about Israel. We also have all of the latest with this shooting. Our partners over at Gold Co. This is a great way to just really kind of give yourself a little bit of extra protection in this very chaotic economy right now. And the gold IRA field can seem pretty confusing, and it's tough to find a precious metals company that you feel that you can really trust. That's not easy. So this is why you should check out Gold Co. Because the stuff that they send you they have this education first approach. And so the information they provide is very thorough. It's a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers, and it explains in minute detail the economy and how gold IRAs work. And I mean, it's why you need to do what I did. Add gold and silver as a hedge against inflation with Gold Co., because that's going to give you a little bit more protection against the endless spending and printing of money by the government. But Gold Co.'s goal is to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. And it's an important part of your overall retirement and saving strategy. They have fantastic customer service, zero complaint record, all completely transparent, and you can ask about their highest buyback guarantee. So protect your family's financial future and freedom, and get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. DanaLikesGold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Interesting. So George Soros, his fund is poised to take control of the nation's second largest chain of radio stations. 220 stations nationwide, according to court filings. Soros Fund Management has bought up $400 million of debt in Odyssey, the number two U.S. radio broadcaster behind iHeartMedia. You know his son is dating Huma Abedin? I just need to say that because I still don't believe it. Anthony Weiner, I was the one who broke that story for Andrew Breitbart when he was alive, and Anthony Weiner accused me of hacking his Twitter account, so I just need to say it again. Huma Abedin is dating Alex Soros, George's son. That's so weird to me. How weird is that? Like, do those people ever get away from each other? Okay, I got more headlines for you, but we could sit here and spill tea legit all day. The House Homeland Security chair of that subcommittee, Mark Green, is set to retire. He says he wants to go out with a win after impeaching Mayorkas. I mean, he has a good point. I kind of like these cats that are like, yeah, I'm done. I don't believe in term limits because that's the voters' job. But I do like the dudes who like do it themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, all right, I appreciate that. You know, I get you. I appreciate it. Let's see here. Cosmos history made. Scientists have discovered water on asteroids for the first time. Is it going to hit Earth? That's all I care about. I just knock this rock out of the solar system because I'm done. I'm done with all the craziness. But they say that they've identified, and I don't get like super excited. It's not like they found a pond or something, but they did find molecular water on two silicate-rich asteroids, Kane, Iris and Massalia, using the instrument, some sort of telescope that they call Sophia. And something about water. I just don't. Are there aliens? Is there water? Is there animals there I can eat? That's what I want to know. I would love to grill up a space creature. If it's not cute enough to have as a pet, and it's not like a bug, then I will totally put that on my barbecue.
Enough. Yeah, I'm curious enough.
Yeah, like, I mean, what if there's like an alien meat out there that's like has all the benefits of like, you know, fish, but it's a red meat and tastes like steak. I mean,
I think
what?
There's a Futurama episode about that.
It probably is, you know. Your meme is bad. You should feel bad. Let's see. Apes have a sense of humor just like humans. I believe that because they're hysterical. And they, I mean, they, there's a new study that's coming out of Germany. They published it in some journal, but they said, yeah, an international team discovered specifically four species, orangutans, chimpanzees, bonobos, and gorillas. I don't like the bonobos. They're all skanky. But they engage in playful teasing and jokes with one another. It's funny. Stick with us. More in store. When emergencies strike, the last thing that you want to worry about is where your next meal is going to come from. And this is where Wise Food Storage comes in. So they have a buy one, get one free discount on their 72-hour food kit. Just visit wisefoodstorage.com and type in Dana in the search bar. And when you do, you're going to get access to all the deals on Wise Food Storage's best-selling products. Like that 72-hour food kit, the buy one, get one. You get two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, entrees, breakfast, drinks, all kinds of stuff. 11,120 total calories in each kit. And everything that they have is made with high quality U.S. ingredients. Freeze dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare. Just add water with a 25-year shelf life. Also order your heirloom seed vault. There's 4,500 seeds in each kit. They're non-hybrid, non-GMO, open pollinated heirloom varieties with a 10-year shelf life. And it contains 39 varieties of seeds. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar to get those exclusive deals like the buy one, get one free on the 72-hour food kit. Visit wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana, Dana in the search bar.
No matter what side of funding the war in Ukraine you fall on, enough is enough. Congress is taking your tax dollars, but they don't want to offset it by cutting anything else. They'll just throw it onto the pile of trillions of more debt. Cut it from somewhere else in the budget.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
President Biden, do you have your reaction to the shooting in Kansas City?
About the shooting. I don't have it all. I'll have it later tonight.
That's Biden. He was asked about the shooting in Kansas City. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this first hour. You can listen coast to coast, you know, until we all get shut down by Soros. Who knows? You can stream the radio program and you can watch the video simulcast on Channel 347 Direct TV as well as YouTube. Always good discussion and Facebook. This shooting in Kansas City, and there, it's real weird how the media was, it was wall-to-wall coverage. And then it's like as soon as it became known, maybe kind of who the suspects were, or, you know, some of the other facts of the case or of the incident came out, the tragedy came out. It's like now the media doesn't really want to talk about it because I've seen people sitting in handcuffs, you know, on street corners and that. And apparently they said two of these people were juveniles. I nobody knew what the facts were before they started running out and losing their minds about stuff. Like, you have them calling for gun control now, and they need more gun control restrictions, et cetera, et cetera. And there was this one guy, he ended up blocking me. This one guy, I'm not going to say his name because this would be more attention than he ever had in his ever loving life. But he's like some Cardinals writer or whatever at, I think it's like what, KMOV in my hometown of St. Louis, right? And he was saying that, oh, we need to have gun control restrictions. And he was basically saying that everybody who's, you know, doesn't support gun, he's a Cardinals writer at KMOV. And people who don't support all this stuff, oh my gosh, you're just, you know, horrible people, et cetera, et cetera. And a friend of mine who's in broadcasting had CC'd me on something that she had said with him or said to him. And I just simply said, you know, define assault weapon. Because he was like, ban all assault weapons now. I am so tired of that term being used. And it's not me policing the language. What these jackwagons need to understand is that the language, the specificity is important because it invokes certain parts of the law that could determine whether or not you get a $1,500 fine or 15 years in prison. That's why specifics count. And if these people who only engage in this concern theater in order to clout chase on social media, and let's be real, none of these people give a rat's ass about the lives of any of these folks in any of these cities or any of these tragedies that have taken place. They care about looking like virtue signalers, and they clout chase on social media. And why do I know this? Because these people are entirely absent when it comes out that, oh, a repeat offender got a wrist slap in Kansas City. Another repeat offender got a wrist slap in St. Louis. Another repeat offender was able to just walk with no cash bail in New York. These people are always absent when it counts at the very germination of this tragedy, because it's always somebody who is known. It's always somebody who's got a record. It's always someone who has numerous warning signs, and it doesn't take a due process eroding red flag law to see it and do something about it. And I'll be damned if I hear another one of these morons blame an innocent law-abiding gun owner. Alec Baldwin has killed more people than I have. Tired of it. Every day. You know, yesterday, and I don't want to make this about me, but I want to tell you how nuts gun control people are. Yesterday was the first time in 6 years that I went out for Valentine's Day. Right after the horrific, and my friends who lost children in Parkland, I can't even imagine what they deal with every single day, especially on Valentine's Day. But people were outright nasty if we went out in public on Valentine's Day because of that. So I just stayed home. We just never did anything. And these people, they have so much energy to be nasty, but where are they when it counts? These two juveniles? How is that my problem? How is it your problem? How is it the deer hunter's problem in southern Missouri, who maybe carries to work and has a rifle in his truck and enjoys turkey hunting and deer hunting? How is it his problem? What about the mayor who wanted to defund the police? I mean, there's audio of him. This is what? Audio Soundbite 15. This is Brandon Johnson. Well, this is Chicago. Don't we have the other? Don't we have another mayor? Don't we have the mayor of Kansas City? Who's going on? Mayor of Kansas City wanted to defund the police. He was on video saying this just a couple of years ago. Do you know that Kansas City has been run by Democrats for what? How many decades? 5 decades?
Oh, yeah.
Kansas City has had a Democrat mayor, Democrat city council, Democrat everything for years and years and years. Same people who select the chief, etc. I mean, that you got to ask yourself a question. What is happening in these cities? Missouri, they're like, oh, Missouri is, you know, tops for gun death. Oh, my goodness. It's a Second Amendment sanctuary state. Okay, tell me that you don't understand how state legislatures work without telling me that you don't understand how state legislatures work. It was essentially a resolution. It has no legal binding, but it is a statement. I mean, we've covered that. Some of these people need to extricate heads from backsides and learn civic responsibility and just basic 101. The crime rate in Missouri is driven by Kansas City and St. Louis. I lived in downtown St. Louis. This isn't my truth. It's the damn truth. I lived in downtown St. Louis. I lived in McKinley Heights, right across the street from Hodak's. I lived there for a number of years. I worked, the radio station that I started at was in Union Station. And so I lived real quick drive. My husband worked literally down the street. We needed to be by where our work was. Our kids were homeschooled. We were part of a St. Louis, fantastic St. Louis homeschooling community. But I lived in downtown St. Louis. I saw firsthand the restorative justice rot in that city. And it's not unique. It's just like Kansas City. My neighbors, and I love my neighbors, we had a very diverse street. And then we had a cousin that rented a house two doors down. We had this old brownstone on the street that we lived on McKinley Heights. Love my neighbors. We all looked out for each other. And then there were some folks that started running drugs from their house at the end of the street. And I don't know what it was, but I mean, the neighbors got, because my kids would play with the neighborhood kids and they'd ride their bikes, or sometimes they'd skate up and down the street. And I would go out there with my sidearm, open carry, and I would make sure everything was cool. And the neighbors would not allow their kids to go outside unless they saw me out there carrying, because they knew that I will literally drag somebody if they try messing with any of these kids. And there was only one instance where somebody, I guess, was going to go and, you know, get some drugs or something down the street, and they thought it was going to be smart speeding, you know, up the street, and they got an earful from me. And I'm like, you might think that your city, I'm from the Ozarks. Did you see the Langamores on Ozarks? Because that's my fam damly. All right? We're the real FAFO people. Do not. We got family that has pig farms, so don't. And so they didn't ever come near our end of the street. And they, apparently the word went out, if you see that crazy lady outside, you stay away from her and you come and get your drugs at the other end of the street. We called the police. The police would arrest them and they were right back out. One of the people who I guess lived at the house for a while, because it was a drug house. One of the people who lived there was involved in a shooting in Northside. And then, you know, and we'd get home from work. I'd get home from broadcast and because it was a nice weed street, we never had no issue. You're going to have issues everywhere. But I liked our neighbors. I liked, you know, I liked being able to see the fireworks at the bar. I loved our homeschool community. I loved, you know, we lived right by the brewery, could smell the hops in the evening. And our neighbors, we'd get home and our neighbors, they'd, you know, be having a glass of wine or something on their front porch. And we'd go out and we'd all talk. And they're like, yeah, that the one who had gotten popped for having, being involved in the shooting, Northside, out within 2 days, out within 48 hours. All the neighbors were all talking about how, oh my gosh, they just keep arresting and rearresting the same folks over and over again. There's no penalty. There's never a penalty. It happened over and over again. That's what drove crime. Some of my neighbors would leave and they'd move to the suburbs because they were tired of the city not enforcing the law, or if it wasn't an issue of enforcement, they got tired of the judges, the corrupt judges, and these stupid corrupt DAs letting law enforcement hang and just letting these cats back out on the street. And that was enraging. The folks on my street, we all appreciated the police. And we also knew that it wasn't their responsibility if the DA wouldn't bring charges, or if they reduced charges, or if these repeat offenders got let off. But what a statement that I had to open carry before my neighbors felt comfortable enough for their kids to come outside and play. That's St. Louis. I lived in the city. So when I see some of these people out here saying, oh, well, this is a result of like the Brady group. Woman, please. Let me tell you something. That the responsibility of this is all the damn Democrats y'all keep supporting and donating to. The same decade after decade after decade after decade, Democrat mayor, Democrat city council, Democrat handpicked chief, not elected. Same thing over and over again. Then you get the Democrat corrupt DAs, the Democrat corrupt judges, and then you wonder why. You wonder why crime is increasing. I can pretty much tell you that's exactly what is happening in Kansas City. That's exactly it. That's what is happening in Kansas City right now. Two juveniles. Now, they said that there was, what, a rifle involved, maybe, but there was also maybe a handgun. How did juveniles get a handgun? How, if they were not, how were they walking around with, a, how old were they? Good grief. This has to do with parents not raising their kids. You're not going to disarm me because you raised a criminal. There's just so much of this. Audio soundbite 8. This was one of these CNN stooges. I don't even know who this is, but this is that Second Amendment sanctuary thing that they got wrong. Listen to this.
Their rationale, and of course, this is part of the Republican Party platform now, their rationale is let's make it as easy as possible for people to get guns so people are armed when these things happen. We see how quickly they happen. We see that police are on scene. It's not necessarily a guarantee and maybe not worth rolling back all of our gun regulations.
So this lady,
I mean, Missouri is a Second Amendment sanctuary state, so they actually... they passed a law a couple years ago that seemed to prohibit federal and state law enforcement officials from working together on cases that might be viewed.
So this is Jennifer Massia. She's a moron and she's with the Trace. And I just think that if you're going to go on television and purport to be an expert on something, then maybe you should have a basic grasp of facts. It was a resolution that was passed. And all it says is that you cannot sit here and commandeer state sovereignty and demand that the state. I mean, basically, it's like Prince VUS. I mean, if you want to go ahead and have that debate on the supremacy clause as it relates to state sovereignty. But I digress. I know more about this issue than the people at the Trace, and I've lived in this state. These are people who it's a Bloomberg funded entity, and they try to pass themselves off as ombudsmen for gun control or Second Amendment advocacy, and they're all paid anti-gun lobbyists. That's exactly what they do. And of course, you know, I just think naturally, if you're attracted to that line of work, it attracts a certain sort of lower intellectualized person, as you could see by her explanation there. They didn't make it. The Second Amendment Sanctuary Resolution did not make it easier for people to get guns. They still have to go through and satisfy all of the same federal requirements that every single state does. That's not something that you can simply skip. But you know what? Characteristics aren't being satisfied is what I just explained with the DAs and the judges. I mean, they're not even giving minimum mandatory in a lot of these sentencing when they reduce everything down or when they do it to cashless bail. I mean, I could sit here and tell you case after case after case after case after case in my home state as it relates to violent repeat offenders who have gone on to commit essentially what are considered mass casualty incidents by FBI definitions, three or more fatalities, simply because of the restorative justice rot that these people love to celebrate, and then they blame innocent people for the chaos that it creates. Absolutely moronic. We got to get moving. We got more on the way. Our partners, they're new to the program. They're called Field of Greens, and this is a great way to maintain health. It's a great way to get all of the vegetables and fruits that you need, because you know you're eating your vegetables, you're eating all the good stuff that you're supposed to eat. But quite honestly, in order to fulfill, you know, especially if you're doing like a high fiber, et cetera, dietary requirement, in order to fulfill all of that, I mean, you got to eat kind of a lot of it. And I'm going to be real. Not everybody's going to do that. So Field of Greens makes it a lot easier to stay healthy, to eat healthy. And they're offering you 15% off the first order. So here's what it is. Basically, you take it's you mix it with stuff. It's a powder that you can mix with 8 ounces of whatever you want. Preferably something healthy, water, club soda, fruit juice, maybe low sugar fruit juice, some maybe high protein milk, something like that. You can even make a smoothie out of it. And you're going to notice more energy throughout the day. It helps with digestion. It helps, I mean, it helps satisfy all of the requirements that you need for that healthy diet. 100% USDA organic fruits and vegetables are in this. Real organic superfood, antioxidants, fiber, all the good stuff. And it was all formulated by a team of physicians. It's safe for the whole family and for athletes as well. You're going to love it. But for any reason you don't, like, you know, which is not going to happen, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. So if you've resolved to get healthier in 2024, start with Field of Greens. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Dana to get 15% off your first order plus free rush shipping. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Only we do what I never. What? I got friends.
It's like hearing, you know how you get those tracks where somebody's recording vocals and then like you separate them out and take the music away and it sounds ridiculous. So that's Travis Kelce. But guys, he's not drunk though. I think this is a huge misconception that's going around. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, he was celebrating and he was drunk. Travis Kelce wasn't drunk. That's just Pfizer. It's the Pfizer. He got Pfizered. That's what it is.
Maybe now I won't catch the cold. Oh.
We can't play the song because we'll totally get slapped for copyright.
No, still catch
it's
the
so
cold.
Stupid. Yeah, no, he's oh, he's totally going to get. But isn't he like double, triple, quadruple vaxxed and boosted?
Yeah, vaxxed and triple boosted.
I'm not a Travis Kelce fan. He's a gun control guy. He's a go and get your Pfizer shot guy. He's like, I'm just not a fan of all that. I'm not going to sit here and be like, they were throwing up devil signs in the box. I'm not that person. But I don't like Travis Kelce. I wasn't rooting for either team in the Super Bowl, if I'm being honest. I hate everything. Everyone's like, well, the San Francisco guy was a Christian. Yeah, but it's San Francisco. Needles and feces. So it's just, you know, I mean, that's just pick your poison, right? I mean, clearly Kelce did. So coming up in our second hour, just full of joy and light today, aren't I? We've got the latest border immigration. Did you guys see the climate protesters try to dump powder on the Constitution display in the rotunda? And like the Capitol police were just like, didn't do anything. We got to talk about this. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store next. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, Black Rifle Coffee, the only coffee that I drink, honestly, because it's just the best coffee that's out there. And with Black Rifle Coffee, you are getting, it's a veteran-owned company, veteran-owned. They employ active duty and retired veterans, and they have the absolute best roast there, just period. I think some of my favorites are like the Silencer Smooth. I love that. The AK-47 Espresso is great. They also have the Thin Blue Line Medium Roast. Freedom Fuel Dark Roast, always nice. I mean, there's just so much that they have. And the cool thing about the coffee club, if you join the coffee club, you can choose your favorite roast, however many you want, and you can have it shipped for free to your door. So choose how often you want it so that you never, ever run out of coffee. And I'm telling you, it's more affordable than what you're going to pay for the bougie stuff in the store. Fresh to your door, no shipping fees. You'll never run out. And you can also find the grinders and mugs and kettles, everything that you need to make the perfect cup of coffee. You can find it at Black Rifle Coffee. And when you become a member of that coffee club, use code Dana because that's going to get you 30% off of your first subscription order. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Join that Black Rifle Coffee Club today. Get 30% off your first month with code Dana. Save money on high quality coffee roasted right here in the US of A. blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Absolutely. And I think it's something that I'm taking at heart immediately. As soon as we were clear and safe, I texted our general counsel and told them I need that gun legislation immediately for Monday's meeting. I don't care what stands in our way. And as I was leaving with my colleagues at the state legislature, at the city council, we all agreed it's time for us to act. As Democrats, we must act.
I just want to know what Karen Joy Reid scout there when I'm like watching this video, because man alive, if you're watching the simulcast. Welcome back to the show. You all were thinking it. I'll say it. I'm the friend who says it. Welcome back to the program. Top of our second hour. Dana Lash here with you. So this is a Kansas City lawmaker who's saying, yeah, we got to have, we got to have gun legislation immediately. I want someone to tell me what law you are going to pass that would have made illegal possession and illegal purchase illegaler. What law would you pass to make murder illegaler? What law would you pass that makes shooting off your illegally possessed, likely illegally purchased firearm in a parade illegaler? Bueller? Anybody? I would love for any of these people, and they block me whenever I ask them this on social media. You had, and I swear I had a video of this, you had this guy, Kansas City mayor, sued to block a Missouri law that required higher police spending. Interesting, right? He did everything possible to stop that. He wanted to stop that any higher increase or really like any police spending, to be honest. He didn't want this. I'm trying to figure out, like, you're surprised when you have high crime and you're denigrating police. Yeah, Quentin Lucas, Kansas City mayor, this is back August of 2022, announced he's filing a suit against the state of Missouri, arguing that a new law requiring the city to spend more on police is unconstitutional. And then they wonder again why crime has increased. We were talking about the corrupt DAs and judges and all this stuff. But these aren't the only people talking about this. Audio soundbite 7. Senator Joe Manchin. Let's see how dumb he gets in this remark. Audio soundbite 7.
Lawlessness right now. The crime that goes on in every city and every town. And the threat. You know, I have 10 grandchildren. I'm concerned when they tell me where we're going to go to the mall, go shopping. Or we're going to the grocery store with your grandma or your mom. And every time they say they're going somewhere, scares the bejesus out of me. How about the people going to a parade yesterday? Just to celebrate a Super Bowl parade. Can you believe it?
No.
Only in America. Only in America we let this continue.
Oh,
and everyone's
God.
Afraid, oh, it might cost me some votes. Well, hell, if it costs you some votes and that's what you got to vote for, why would you want to be there anyway? Doesn't make any sense to me. You know, you can't sell your soul to be in these positions. You can't sell who you are.
What does that have to do with any of this? I mean, Kansas City is rife with restorative justice. These people are like, oh, we can't live like this. What do you mean? Live like what? Allowing repeat offenders to get back out on the street? I mean, seriously. Allowing these DAs to just wrist slap? I mean, you realize that they were trying to do everything that they could to exclude repeat offenders from minimum prison terms? They were doing everything possible. I mean, I could sit here and cite you push after push, incident after incident. I mean, over and over again. They've had to fight. They had Democrats attacking Republicans for suggesting that maybe repeat offenders who are in illegal possession of firearms used in commission of a felony, maybe there should be more prison time for them. Democrats are like, oh, my gosh, that's so ignorant. What's the matter with you? So mean. Is that what Joe Manchin's talking about? We've had enough of living in fear from repeat offenders because you guys, you Democrats like you, Joe Manchin, y'all won't do anything about it. You leave our police hanging out there high and dry, having to catch the same people over and over again. You realize that the superintendent of the Chicago PD once said that over 86% of the city's crime was driven by the same 1,400 repeat offenders. Google it. I had a book about it. Actually, I had a whole chapter about it in my first book. True story. And that's not just Chicago. That's name a big city run by Democrats. It's everyone. Philly, St. Louis, Kansas City, Vegas, LA, San Francisco, New York, Miami. Name a city that's been generationally Democrat run, generationally Democrat city council. Over and over again, same thing. But this is what we see. That's what people are tired of. two of these, and they're very interesting. It's very interesting how they've been covering this, or the lack thereof. Because didn't they say that two of the people they arrested were juveniles? So what are two teenagers doing out there running around with guns in the street? Where are their parents? Don't tell me you don't know where your kids are. This is like either no family or a lack of a parental figure, something. That's a problem. Everyone always thinks that that's not a problem. They try to brush it off to the culture war. It's not a cultural war thing. This is a cornerstone of a functioning society to make sure that people are being raised right. There is no way in hell that my kids would have been running around the street with a gun. No way. Because I'm an involved parent. Some of these people are lazy, bad parents. And you know it's true. That's a problem. How long are we going to take being victimized by other people's poorly raised kids? How long are we going to be victimized by people who go out and have sex without consequence and they have kids that they don't want to raise? Oh, don't even sit here and try to tell me about abortion. Keep your knees kissing and do humanity a favor. When do we get a break from that? Why in the ever-loving hell do I got to give up my gun because someone can't raise their kid right? Why do I have to give up my guns because someone's a lazy, bad parent? That's the reason why I need them. Good grief. No, just constant, nonstop. I don't know. Maybe we were raised different. I'm baby Gen X. My husband tries to be the bouncer for Gen X and say that I'm an old millennial, and that's grounds for divorce. I'm baby Gen X. Well, because I grew up in the 80s and 90s. I'm not a flippin' millennial. Kane's a Gen X. I saw this. I wanted to share this with you. This is a meme that's been going around, but particularly you Gen X folks, I want you to listen to this and you realize how true this is. Some millennial posted this and they said, quote, "I don't mess around with anyone over 42. They're built different. Their families had them formally trained in something by the time they were two. They had the keys to the house by age 5. They could cook full meals at 7 and were pretty much self-sufficient at 9. They left their house at dawn every summer morning and did not come back till nightfall and survived all day on water from garden hoses. And they might get a sandwich on the off chance that somebody's parents had gone grocery shopping. They spent 3/4 of their lives by themselves with a parent, maybe checking in on them twice a month. And most of them have evaded at least one kidnapping attempt. And they know 15 different ways to remove bloodstains from clothing. They are the real FA and FO people." And Kane and I were talking. We're like, oh my gosh, that is right. Because I told him, yeah, I remember a guy in a van one time. And this was when I lived in Festus, Missouri, and I was a kid. And I was out playing with some other kids in the street. And somebody was like pulled up at a stop sign and was like motioning us over. And I went and got my mom, and my mom went ham. And I'm like, I think I just evaded a kidnapping attempt. And Kane was like, I totally was almost kidnapped. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it happened like in this creek area behind a park. And you just
were almost a true crime story,
that's
man.
That's the thing. You go to the creek and you're like, you want to throw rocks in the creek. You want to see what kind of crap is in the creek. And then next thing you know, these adults come by and just start trying to be friendly, and you're like no. So my brother takes off running
and left you behind.
Left me, but I wasn't as fast as my brother, unfortunately. So went and got my parents really quick. By the time my dad came by, that, you know, obviously these people were gone. But we've all evaded at least one.
And think about it, like, because I was a latchkey kid, my mom worked late and I'd get home and I would make myself a snack. I'd have, don't laugh at me, my favorite snack to have after school was a cheese and mustard sandwich. The stronger the mustard, the better the sandwich. It's just delicious. Cheddar cheese, good cheddar cheese, some good old Wonder Bread, and you slap you some good old strong mustard on there. It's delicious.
Cheese and mayonnaise too. Cheese and mayonnaise sandwich.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with you. Yeah. Anyway, so I'd have my cheese and mustard sandwich, and I'd be doing my homework, and I'd have cartoons on. I was like 12 years old. I mean, yeah. And then my mom would get home maybe like 6 o'clock, and I would like help. I'd thaw out meat or something like that and help get stuff ready for dinner. But in the summer, that's right. Like, we would leave in the morning when it was still relatively cool. And we did not come back until, we didn't have streetlights where I live. But, you know, when you couldn't, you know, see very well because it was so dark, you had to come home. And I mean, I don't, that's actually not, I remember being at a friend's house and the mom would come in with grocery bags and I'd be like, yes, ice cream, sandwiches and regular sandwiches. Yeah. I mean, that was how it was, right? That's how it was. And your bike got you everywhere. I mean, that's how you knew where all your friends were. Like, where, if you couldn't get a hold of somebody, you would just bike around, you know, ride your bike, and then everybody's bikes would be in somebody's front yard, and that's where you knew where your crew was. That was it, man. That was it. And they're right. I mean, we were really self-sufficient.
Yeah, some of that is reflected, you know, in Stranger Things, like in the 80s, where how those kids were out playing with each other and just never usually at home.
Yeah.
I mean, that literally was how it was.
And you know how it's always those, I think whenever they have like kids are solving something or kids are, it always seems to revolve around like 80s, 90s kids. Because I feel like some of the kids today would be like, I'm offended. Oh my gosh. They, them. They had, we got to talk, Rolling Stone. I don't know if you saw this. You didn't because you have a life. Kristen Stewart, that chick who was in Twilight, she's like, semi-cross-eyed and like always, you know, like what, she just has like this whole horrible non-acting vibe, and she was like, I want to do the gayest thing ever, and I'm like, you made Twilight already, I don't think it can get gayer than that. But she posed on the cover of Rolling Stone with a jock strap, and then Rolling Stone is now like, conservatives are so mad, and it's like, no one's mad, we're literally making fun of you, it's just cringe, you dumb cows, that's all it is, it's just cringe. We're making fun of you. No one's mad. No one cares because it's not. How is this like even remotely edgy anymore? When people try too hard to be edgy, it's so cringe. Stop it. Have some, you know, just a little bit of self-awareness. Good grief. We have more on the way. And then coming up at the bottom of our hour, John Andrasik's going to join us. And he's singer-songwriter. He's from Five for Fighting. And he's got a new song out we're going to discuss. And he's very upset with the inability of certain members of Congress to actually, oh, I don't know, condemn terrorism. We're going to talk about all of that stuff because he did this new song called OK, addressing the October 7th attack. So we're going to talk to him about that and more as we move. Our partners, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country, they want to save you dollars. And they've been doing so for a decade. This is the cell phone service I have. I've never had an issue with it. And I've saved more money than on my previous service. I think I've had them for like maybe eight or nine years now. I was the first person in talk radio or in commentary period to start working with Patriot Mobile. And they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service without funding the left. And that's the thing. Your money is not going towards, you know, DEI or gun control or any of the stuff that you outright reject at the ballot box. And when you switch, you are actually working with a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. So you are creating and maintaining U.S.-based jobs. You can keep your phone. You can keep your number. You can upgrade. The choice is yours. They have plans for everybody. And you can get free activation using code Dana. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make that switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Man, this New York City man has given Florida man a run for his money. This guy was caught at the border smuggling pythons in his pants, and he was sentenced to probation. A New York City man, he admitted to smuggling in three Burmese pythons through a U.S.-Canadian border crossing. He got sentenced to a year probation and fined $5,000. He literally hid them in bags tied to the pants drawstring in the inner thigh of his pants. How? They're worth more than $2,500 in a reptile store. I didn't even know that. Yeah. It's considered a vulnerable species in Asia, but invasive in Florida because it's just killing, it's wrecking the ecosystem. They hunt them now. But oh my gosh, how did you think that was not, you were going to be not caught? So you guys remember Rachel Dolezal, the original, she was Elizabeth Warren. She faked being black for a long time. Cosplayed as a black woman, literally like was part of the NAACP, and then they found out she was white as the day is long, like blonde haired even. She lost her elementary school teaching job after the district learned about her OnlyFans post. So she has an OnlyFans? Yeah, okay, so I don't know what kind of reflection that is on society that she apparently made enough money on that? What? How sick a society that, you know what, I'm going to see a Rachel Dolezal OnlyFans. Who are you? What is wrong with you? Who hurt you? The FDA has approved medication to treat severe frostbite. This is kind of weird. They said that it's an injection that treats severe frostbite in adults to reduce the risk of finger or toe amputation. It's called our... Yeah, that's it. They just threw a bunch of letters together and were like, go at it. But they said that it's something that's they're hoping the active ingredient in this that I can't pronounce that prevents blood from clotting. They're hoping to be able to kind of reverse some of the more extreme damage. It's interesting. Artificial intelligence. People are seeking a romantic connection with the perfect bot. I think they need to go out and touch grass. That's what needs to happen. And a soccer player was struck by lightning and killed during a game in a terrifying video. This was horrific. This was in Indonesia, FC Bandung. This is crazy. So coming up, John Ondrasik joins us. He's with Pfeiffer Fighting on his new song on October 7th. Stick with us.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast, bottom of the second hour. You can also stream the radio program and watch the video component, too, the simulcast on Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, and Facebook as well. A couple of weeks ago, I went and spoke to the Dallas Jewish Conservatives, a great group of people. It was an amazing event. And some of the stories and just the accounts that I heard from, you know, fellow Americans who, you know, I've said this before, that's what makes this country so unique is the e pluribus unum. Everyone wants to be united in liberty. And so that's the strength. And you have people who come from all over the world and their families come from all over the world. And I was talking to this one gentleman. He was an elderly man, and he had written a couple of books about his, you know, his parents were had been in Auschwitz. And he was talking about how he was like the only person of his, a very few of his, you know, of his family to survive. And he wrote about his parents and, you know, how they kept hope. And it was an amazing conversation. And his heartbreak when he was recounting what happened on October 7th. And when he told me, he said, I've always been hopeful in life, but I had never tricked myself into thinking that something like this might not ever happen again. And I just thought, what a horrible thing to have to live, a reality to live with. And that really affected me because, you know, for a lot of people, I don't think that they understand a lot of, you know, our Jewish American friends and even family members. For many, I mean, you're talking about their grandparents, their parents that had gone through this. We are not that separated generationally from all of the atrocities that happened back then. And to see October 7th take place and then watch what happened within our own government, how they couldn't even condemn rape to be used as a weapon of war, was sickening to me. And it was sickening to my first guest today as well, because he wrote a really, really touching song about it called We Are Not Okay. John Ondrasik, you might know, of course you know him, also Pfeiffer Fighting. He joins me, prolific singer-songwriter. I mean, I think he's pretty iconic. Everybody knows his voice. He joins me now via Skype. John, I just so appreciate you joining me. And you wrote this song. Sometimes I can't listen to certain songs all the way through because I'm not an emotional person, but sometimes there's just like a pitch or something that just gets me. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I can't listen anymore. And this is one of those songs. It's and the video that goes along with it. I want to talk to you about what our government has done and the weird sort of defense that we saw of Hamas in the wake of October 7th. And I think this just speaks to something so much larger. But why I wanted to ask about the title of your song first and foremost. We Are Not Okay. And the way that you sing it in the chorus as well, there's a lot of emphasis on okay. Talk to me about that.
Well, first, Dana, it's great to be with you. Longtime fan. I appreciate your willingness to fight the big battles. And this is, I think, the biggest battle of all. I think October 7th, the atrocities reminded us of 9/11, frankly, also the Afghan withdrawal. Mm. But really the aftermath, you know, within 24 hours, you had thousands of people celebrating in Times Square. And then all of a sudden you start seeing the moral collapse of all our institutions. You know, certainly the media very quickly for some became a Hamas mouthpiece. Obviously, our college campuses, which we've known for decades, have been a bastion of moral rot and anti-Semitism. And as you just mentioned, members of Congress basically spouting Hamas talking points. And as you mentioned yesterday, Ms. Tlaib could not find herself to condemn the rape and massacre of women at a concert. So it's a symptom of a much deeper problem. Folks have talked about that. And I think for me, kind of seeing that, there's something deeply wrong in the culture. The UN minister today just said, well, we don't look at Hamas as a terrorist organization. So many institutions have collapsed, and we're losing our children. Half of our kids between 18 and 24 side with Hamas over Israel. 20% believe that the Holocaust never happened. And if we don't stand up and address that, we're going to lose this battle, this global battle for civilization.
Now, I think that's a great point. Talking to our friend John Ondrasik, Five for Fighting, his new song, We Are Not Okay. You mentioned Rashida Tlaib and the inability of her to condemn, you know, Hamas using rape as a weapon of war. And I'm amazed at Hamas is an elected terrorist government, and they were elected 2000 and so popular that they actually suspended elections because they thought they were going to overtake Fatah in West Bank. And when the argument of, well, it was reaction to the occupation, they were fighting against the occupation. John, in what reality is putting a baby in an oven or shooting women in their copulatory organs or raping women or shooting pets? When is that an acceptable? How is that an acceptable form of resistance? That's what I feel like they're arguing.
Well, you're right. This is a moral issue. And if you cannot condemn putting babies in ovens and burning them in front of their mothers and filming it and sending it to their families on Facebook without words like context or but, then nothing is evil. And I think it really goes to this kind of warped mindset that is infecting all aspects of the culture of oppressor versus oppressee. So if you're the perceived oppressee, all of a sudden you can do no wrong. And if you're the oppressor, you can do no right. Of course, this is not about the Palestinians. You know, Syria, you know, murdered tens of thousands Palestinians. They would not allow human aid to come in. And there were no marches. There were no protests on college campuses. So this really is this kind of mindset that's infecting our kids and our society. And you see it in many aspects of the culture. And the saddest thing to me, Dana, which is I'm ashamed about, is the silence of the arts, the silence of the music industry. You know, you were 2 years old, but I had the honor of playing the concert for New York after 9/11. And you remember, I remember walking down 7th Avenue. And of course, there was the pictures of those who were missing. And our hearts broke because we knew they weren't coming home. But could you imagine back in the day, people ripping those posters down? You know, so we're really seeing, frankly, for the first time, I think people are opening their eyes to the depths of how we've fallen. And it's not just in America, it's the whole world. And if we don't stand up to it using the arts, because, you know, our old friend Andrew Breitbart used to say, you know, politics is downstream of culture.
Yep.
Folks don't understand that. And the fact that all the artists, iconic artists that stood up for America after 9/11 have been silent, many of them Jewish, is a great disgrace, and I'm working on a few things to hopefully change that.
And you made such a great point with that. I know we were going to have you join us, I think, a week or so ago, but you had an opportunity to kind of dress down an organization in the arts, and you took that opportunity, understandably, and we were like, yes, go do this. And it's crazy that it has that you have to that people don't have the, I don't know if it's a willful awareness or if they just want to ignore it, but they have to have it pointed out to them by other people that this is bad. There's no justification of this. There's no, you can't just gloss over it. It's bad. It happened. People are defending it. And good on you for doing that, because it's not easy to do. And it comes at great cost.
Well, look, the first lyric of my song is, this is a time for choosing. And I think it is. And it we have to decide. You can't bury your heads in the sand anymore. And the last image of my video is Martin Luther King basically saying, if you're silent in front of evil, you're complicit. And we're seeing a lot in 1938 and 2024, a lot of the same excuses. You know, some of my artist friends, well, yeah, Hamas is bad, but I'm worried. I'm scared for my family. I don't want my concerts protested. And I'm like, look, I get it. You know, when Israel shared my video on their social media, I quickly understood what Jews go through every day, the vitriol, the death threats. But I said, look, these arguments are exactly what people made in 1938. And every voice that comes out for the right thing makes us all stronger. So the silence cannot continue. And as I mentioned, the arts is how we get to the kids. You know, a lot of these politicians mm-hmm. and pundits think their speeches matter and their articles matter. Nobody cares about that, the kids. You know, we have to use the arts. So hopefully we can gather some more artists of like mind and inspire others to speak up as, you know, as this song kind of resonates around the world.
Talking with our friend John Ondrasik, Five for Fighting, in his about his new song, We Are Not Okay. You touched on something, John, that I thought I wanted to come back to, because you were talking about how the youth particularly, and I think there's a foreign policy illiteracy that not just affects the United States, but a lot of other countries. But there's also this idea that goes along with it, that the means justify, or the end justifies the means, that it's like this perversion of fighting for what you think is good, that if you can use evil tactics, it's okay. And it mainstreams evil because, you know, I mean, if you get to the same end, then that means this isn't really evil if you're still able to get to your ends, right? And I think kind of that's at the root of this, too.
It is. It's kind of a culty kind of phenomenon. And you see it with so many of our kids. And it's horrifying. It's scary. But as you mentioned, you used the word mainstream, which was interesting. I was talking to a young man, a friend of my son, who's 21 years old, and I asked him, you know, it's Hamas-Israel thing. What do you think? Well, Hamas, you know, Hamas. And I'm like, why do you say that? And he goes, because it's mainstream. Because it's whatever, it's cool. It's what the in kids think. And then when I told him, like, but you know about, you know, how they basically slaughtered all these people at the concert, he goes, well, a lot of that's kind of, you know, kind of high propaganda. I go, let me show you some videos. And when he saw that, he was stunned. So the fact that, you know, academia, well, let me put this, elite academia, don't send your kids to Harvard, send them to Texas or Alabama.
There you go.
But, you know, elite academia has been pushing this dogma for years. And now those folks that were in school, you know, 10 years ago are now running our major media organizations, many in our tech business, and frankly, many in the arts. So it's not surprising this is happening. But we can't just sit here and lament it. We have to stand up to it, each of us in our ways, whether you're a songwriter, talk show, mm-hmm. Look, Mark Levin shared my video and Deborah Messing. This is not a political issue. If we can't get together on the fact that Hamas is evil and we're losing our kids, then it's our fault.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of work to do.
And we're considering sending essentially Hamas $9.1 billion. In a supplemental, which in the form of aid, because, you know, all of the entities over there that are just distributing everything, they're not run by Hamas. I mean, they just found out that the UN headquarters over there in Gaza City had had Hamas tunnels underneath it.
You know, if it wasn't true, it sounds like a bad joke. It's a mad world. The world's gone insane. And the fact that the Biden administration is floating a Palestinian state to reward Hamas for atrocities. Again, in what alternate universe are we living in? But look, we saw this in Afghanistan. The extraordinary success with what that was Afghanistan. I wrote a song called Blood on My Hands. Yep. It called them out. We saw this in Ukraine when our first act when Russia invaded was to offer Zelensky a plane ticket. Hey, abandon your people. And now we're seeing this kind of turnabout on Israel. So, again, I think I don't look at this as a political issue, but I think we have to speak loudly when our leaders are starting to slip with their moral spine. Mm.
Last question for you. Our friend John Ondrasik, Five for Fighting. You mentioned your son was saying, and I've heard this from, kids just, they're not having this presented to them, in whether in colleges or even in high schools or junior highs, that the kids all go through a rebellious period, right? You want to be the rebel. And nowadays, it seems like to be rebellious is to look like what everyone else thinks alternative is, and to do all of the things that people think is alternative. So it's still like another hive mind action. But maybe I'm romanticizing, you know, how my folks grew up and maybe my grandparents grew up. But it really seemed like the cool thing back in the day when we were way more original was to actually go against the grain. When did we lose that? I mean, we're America. We went against the grain from the onset. Like, when did we lose that?
Yeah, no, it is interesting because both my kids, you know, don't understand their friends. My daughter actually just graduated from NYU. But it's not just our kids. Look, Rolling Stone used to be about speaking to the man. It used to be about rock and roll. It used to be about speaking up to power. It used to be about human rights, justice. They won't even cover the Hamas issue like they should. I sent them my video. They're cowards.
They put they put that one Boston terrorist on their cover.
You know what? So much of this is a cultural problem, and it goes way beyond Hamas and Israel. Mm. But again, it's our obligation to provide the counterpoint because we're in the right. We're in the right. And I think the silent majority understands that. But silent majorities become silent minorities if people don't speak up. So we have a lot to do. I got some projects. I'll be going to Israel probably in the next month or so. So, you know, I'll keep you in the loop. And thank you for, you know, speaking to the organization. You know, one thing that's critical, I've got thousands of emails from Jewish folks around the world. They feel abandoned. They wonder what happened. So every voice that says, hey, look, we got your back. One doesn't have to be Jewish to condemn Hamas as evil. Right. One has to be human. So thank you for being human. Again, big fan. Say hi to Chris. And hopefully we can do this again one day.
Will do. And big fan of you too, John. And appreciate you using your talent and your skills to really add to this and help convince in a way that really you can and so many others can't. We're grateful for it. John Ondrasik, the song, We Are Not Okay. Always appreciate you, my friend. Godspeed.
Take care. Thank you.
Of course. You too.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I really do not have any. I mean, this is one of the craziest stories. So, you know how some people are a little chicken little? Sky's falling. Okay, that really happened in this guy's case. Florida Sheriff's Deputy, bless his heart, Fort Walton Beach. An acorn hit his patrol vehicle, and he thought somebody was shooting at him. And he immediately, shots fired. And he fired multiple times at an SUV where they had a guy handcuffed sitting in the back seat. The man was being questioned about stealing his girlfriend's car. He wasn't injured. He was taken in custody, released without being charged. Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office released the body camera video, and they addressed the acorn for the first time. It's Deputy Jesse Hernandez. He's never going to live this down, guys. He's never going to live this down.
Did you see the video?
Oh, I saw the video. I mean, man lost his mind.
He did like a triple roll, right, when the acorn hit?
Yeah, he like rolled and like
a few times, like he was tumbling.
And he was like, shots fired. He was like trying to evade bullets like Neo from the Matrix. Just crazy. And so he had detained the boyfriend. He was searching the car and he put him in the back of his patrol vehicle. And that's when the acorn hit the vehicle. And he thought, I guess that the guy was, he thought he had been hit. I don't know. He just lost it. And then, it was bad. It was bad. So they're reviewing it. They're looking at it and oh boy, golly, that's bad for this dude. He's never gonna live it down. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
So this afternoon.
Just sadness. You wake up, we're gonna celebrate the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, and that person's not gonna get home. Mm-hmm. And then you factor in all the injuries, and apparently most of them were kids. And I just feel sadness because you got the greatest country in the world. Any fool can go out and buy a gun.
That's not true.
Anytime. Mm-hmm. They don't do great background checks.
Wow. So that's Shaq. Shaq, come on. I'm not going to go sit here and knock the balls out of your hands. So you don't come here and you to tell us about gun law, right? It works.
That's Charles Barkley. Right?
Oh, wait. Charles Barkley. Right. I'm so done with like the anti-gun stuff. Still, same thing. I'm not going to go and knock the balls out of Charles Barkley's hands and then he's not going to come here and lecture about gun law. It's not easy for people to get a gun. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lashier with you. Top of this third hour. The update, the Kansas City Chiefs parade, the suspects are juveniles they haven't released their names because they're under 21. That's why. They were having a personal dispute. They said that they thought it was a fight and they took three people into custody. And they said that they were juveniles and they got into a fight. They're being really weird with how information's coming out in this. Now, they said it had nothing to do with terrorism or anything like that. But it sounds like it's, you know, I mean, it's always like youth, gang, drug violence. I'm just wondering how teenagers were able to. How do you have, as a teenager, have a gun and your folks don't know? How? Case in point. When I was young, my favorite book in the world was Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. And this is like the worst thing I've ever done. This is probably like a crime, I think. So I would check it out repeatedly at the library. I was in elementary school. I didn't want anyone else checking out this book, and it wasn't available in my weekly reader, right? You know, you could get your weekly reader and you could turn around to the back and you could buy books off of it, you know, and they'd come like the next week. So I didn't want anybody checking this book out. I mean, for half the year, I think I checked this book out to keep it because I liked it so much. I wanted it. I loved the drawings in it, the scare. I had all these stories memorized. It was my absolute favorite book, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. And there was at one point that, and this was towards the end of the year, that the librarian had asked me if I could not check that book out because someone else had asked about it. And I thought, nope. And I lied to her and I said, sure, yeah, I'll bring it in. Never. I didn't do it. In fact, they were going to bar me from participating in field day because I just kept it at that point. I didn't even bother checking it out again. And the school called my mom because they were like, well, she needs to return this very overdue book or she's not going to be able to participate in field day. And you guys know how important field day is if you're in elementary school. That's like towards the end of the year and all the grades compete and it's like a big deal, right? It's an all day big deal thing. It's like, oh my gosh. So I had to bring the book back. I didn't get in trouble. My mom didn't get me in trouble, but I was like, oh, and I had to produce it. And I was so mad and I was so mad at the little boy who was like, I think he was in my grade, but he's in a different class. I was so mad that he wanted to check it out. And I was just like, have your parents go get you. I was so mad because I couldn't afford to just go and buy books. And I did not want to give that book back. I was so mad about it. I had a chip on my shoulder for like the rest of the year, the remaining like month or so. Oh man, that was a big deal. But I, my mom knew. I mean, I kept telling her, I don't have it. I left it at school. That woman found that book in like 5 seconds. She knew. She kept tabs. She knew when I wasn't eating my bologna sandwiches and I was hiding them in my room. She knew because I didn't like bologna and I was going to get sweets. Like I'd get 50 cents and I could go and buy whatever sweets I wanted during lunch. That woman knew. She was like magical. Parents who are involved know. How do you have two juveniles that go out, two teens go out and they have guns and they're running around the city with them? How is that legal? That's not legal. Nothing about that is legal. What in the world? And they're going to sit here and say it's because of gun laws. They're going to blame gun laws and they're not going to, what, blame broken families? They're not going to blame irresponsible parenting, but they're going to blame gun laws. I don't know what law they would propose to make any of this illegaler. I also can't take seriously, a friend of mine made a really good point, in that, you know, you don't even know how many people are coming across the border illegally with guns. And you're calling for gun control while the border's open. How, what? And that is true. That's a very good point. Yeah, Kansas City police say it was a fight. These teens got into a fight and that's what it was. That's why you're not hearing anything else about it anymore. Nothing else about it. I wanted to share this story with you as well. Kane sent me this. I actually looked this up because I thought this is a joke. It's true. I found the piece. It's our friend Greg Price says that the Biden DOJ. Oh, you guys are going to need to sit down for this one. I'll give you a second. It's a doozy. Y'all ready? Okay. Let's proceed. Biden's DOJ has filed a lawsuit against the state of Tennessee because the state of Tennessee made it illegal for prostitutes to knowingly spread HIV. The Biden administration says it's a violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Mm-hmm. They said, quote,
The enforcement of state criminal laws that treat people differently based on HIV status alone and that are not based on actual risks of harm discriminate against people living with HIV. People living with HIV should not be subjected to a different system of justice based on outdated science and misguided assumptions. The lawsuit reflects the Justice Department's commitment to ensuring that people living with HIV are not targeted because of their disability. Wait a minute. It's spread. You can spread it. What new science says that it can't... Oh, boy. Here we go. What new science says that it can't be spread? If you are HIV positive and you sleep with someone who is not HIV positive and they become HIV positive and you, knowing that you had HIV, come to the conclusion that it looks like you gave them HIV because you weren't... How is it informed consent? That's the other thing that I don't get. If you're withholding information from someone that you are getting with intimately and that could cause them to suffer health-wise, that's not informed consent. It's not. You're not informed. They are not fully aware of all of the risks at hand. Now, granted, they shouldn't be doing it in the first place. If you even think or suspect this is this is kind of a problem with sleeping around and not using individual discretion. But that also is an informed consent. You're not making people who knowingly have HIV and who are affecting other people, they're not the victims here. They're victimizing other people. And you don't get they can't victimize people. See, because they already have HIV. What kind of argument is that? That's what they're saying. No, they can't, because they already have HIV. What? Americans with Disabilities Act, if you're making someone, okay, let's use that, let's just pursue that line of thinking. If you're arguing that they contracted HIV, and I feel like that's a huge diminishment of ADA, by the way, for them to argue this. If you contracted HIV because you willingly engaged in sexual recreation or drug use or whatever, and you ended up infecting yourself, and you now consider yourself disabled, why would you go make someone else disabled? Or withhold information from them so that they could choose to whether or not they wanted to risk becoming disabled like you, right? I can't believe we have to have these rudimentary conversations like this. This is so ridiculous.
Can we contrast that with how horrible a person you were if you didn't wear a mask at the grocery store?
That's a really good point.
I mean, literally, with COVID, you are a killer and a murderer for not wearing a mask. But with HIV, it's cool to infect others with it. You're protected under this Disabilities Act. What kind of BS is this?
Yeah, I mean, that is a very good point. If you didn't wear a mask, oh my gosh. People would yell at you out in the street if you were out in the sunshine, in the warm air, and you weren't wearing a mask.
Scarlet letter.
Exactly what it was. I'm just amazed at this. It is discrimination if prostitutes can't infect people with HIV?
Yeah, they don't have to disclose it.
I'm sorry, what? I mean, I don't know which way to go here with all these arguments. This is so... I hate society. Where's Smod? I miss Smod. Where's Smod at?
When does your medical status determine your protective status? Why is you having a disease somehow make you a protected status?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I get race, religion, all the other stuff.
That means that you, if you are an HIV positive prostitute, you can give someone HIV, but you can't, if you're not an HIV positive prostitute, you can't give someone a disease. Only specifically to HIV prostitutes. What? It's true. Your protected class. We're just creating all kinds of protected classes, right? Aren't we? Aren't we? Yeah. Just all kinds of protected classes. Everybody's a protected class, because if everybody's a protected class, they can't be made to face consequences.
Right. I only get 4.5 hours of sleep on average. That should make me a protected class.
How do you only get 4.5 hours of sleep?
That's just literally what happens.
You are an odd bird, man.
It's not possible. It's I wake up.
What happens? You just can't go back to sleep?
Yeah, just can't do it.
You just lay there and
I must have gotten plenty.
4.5 hours.
Yeah.
That's not normal.
Right. So I should be a protected class, is my point.
You're a protected class.
Of all the frivolous reasons.
That means you get a pass. You can cause other people to not sleep, too.
Yes.
I mean,
being all up and awake, that wakes up other people.
So this is just wild to me. And it is, and they even tweeted it. So it's the DOJ Civil Rights Division. They actually tweeted this out. So if you didn't get the jab, you could get fired from your job. But hey, you can give somebody the HIV and it's fine. They're protected. If you didn't get the jab, you could lose your job. If you don't wear a mask, you could go to jail. But if you give someone the HIV, well, you can't, because they're HIV positive, so they're protected. That means they get a pass. I want a pass. That's like saying if you own a firearm, you get a pass for any crime you may want to commit with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same argument.
That sounds sane, doesn't it?
Did we accidentally get poisoned water? Like, what in the world? There's no way. I can't believe this is an actual... I'm going to retweet this because none of y'all are going to believe this. None of y'all can believe it. I got to retweet it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
The 10-year-old part of my brain wants you to know that if Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade got married, her name would be Fannie Wade. That's your headline. Here you go. Bye. No. Really, though. Oh, Elon Musk made good on a threat. He incorporated SpaceX, moved it from Delaware to Texas. It follows that a Delaware court was going to demand that Tesla rescind his 2018 CEO pay package. And he was like, you don't get to do that. So he moved his business out of Delaware, encouraged others to do the same. I think people will, but don't come in here and vote blue. But that's good on them. So the, what is this? What is this? EMA, the local EMA. So this is out of Yahoo. They said that on April 8th, we're going to have a once in a lifetime eclipse. And it's now the emergency management in Lorain County in Ohio are telling people to stock up on 3 days of food, fuel, and water. And they said it's because they could have crowds that we're not used to. Apparently Ohio, I guess, is like the best place to view this thing. Is that what it is? So it's a destination for this county for people to go there because apparently that's the place where it lasts the longest. I don't even know how they figured that out, but they did. And they said, as a result, they are not set up infrastructure-wise to deal with the crowds. So get all y'all stuff before the people get there. Not because they think that, you know, something's going to go sideways. It's literally because I did not realize there were that many people that follow that stuff and will literally make it a travel destination just to go and watch something like that for an hour. That's wild to me. I mean, good for you, but man. Let's see. The CDC finally dropped the COVID 5-day isolation guideline. Really? Just now you guys said? Wow. Stick with us. Third hour on the way. And we got some interesting... John Kirby was asked to describe Turner's, you know, that warning that he put out yesterday. Stay with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Some members of Congress described Turner's actions as reckless, given how you started this briefing. Is that how you would characterize what he did yesterday?
I would just tell you that we have followed a very rigorous process about how to determine whether information can be and should be downgraded and shared publicly. We were in the process of that with this particular capability. And as I said in my opening statement, we're not going to get knocked off that process. We're not going to have our hand forced to get out there faster and further than we think is appropriate.
But are you concerned that all members of Congress now have had access to this classified intelligence?
That's really for Chairman Turner to speak to, since he made that decision to make it available to all members of Congress. This is based on...
That doesn't concern
any decision. We'll let Chairman Turner speak to his decision about how to share the information. It is based on information that we, again, are still in the process of analyzing and sharing with allies and partners. And we're just not at a point right now. We don't believe we should be at a point right now to be too forthcoming in all the details of it as we work through this process. But as I said, as we do with every other downgrade, we'll get to a point certainly where we'll share with you as much as we can.
I just feel like it was incredibly irresponsible for Mike Turner to have said, I think it's just all of it's ridiculous all around. And they said it's because of some sort of space threat and maybe Russia has some sort of capability that the United States doesn't. And there was apparently all of the hysteria and the urgency that they were pushing yesterday has kind of gone by the wayside because now there's not really so much as a peep. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch here with you at the bottom of this third hour. And make sure you go sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. I'm not quite sure what they would have. This was him talking about, and this is that second cut, Kane, where he was asked about some kind of anti-satellite system that Russia might be developing. And I think that that's what they're, I guess they're Kirby kind of gives, you know, a little show of the cards here. Listen.
The intelligence community has serious concerns about a broad declassification of this intelligence. They also assess that starting with private engagement rather than immediately publicizing the intelligence could be a much more effective approach. We agree with that, which is consistent, of course, with the manner in which we have conducted downgrades of information in the past. This administration has put a lot of focus on doing that in a strategic way, a deliberate way.
So, I mean, it wouldn't be unusual to think that any country would have that capability.
Yeah, we have the one where he specifically talks about capabilities right here. This one is the one you're referring to.
Okay, yeah, listen.
Can you address whether the United States has the capability to defend against the Russian anti-satellite system that they're developing?
I would tell you that this is still a development. I'm sorry, it's still a capability they're developing. We are still analyzing the information that's available to that. I would not speak definitively about our strategic deterrent capabilities one way or the other. We don't talk about that publicly. But we're taking this potential threat very, very seriously, and we are examining what the best next steps are and what our options might be. I want to reiterate, it is not an active capability, and it has not yet been deployed.
So why is Mike Turner all hysterical? I mean, it kind of makes me wonder if they sent Kirby out to be a good guy and then they can be a bad guy and then they can still use it as leverage to get Ukraine funding in the supplemental. That's what I think it all comes back to still. Still, it all comes back to that. There's just a whole mess of stuff that's hit this week regarding Russia and Ukraine and all of that that really just, to me, the timing is there's never any coincidence in politics. There's no such thing as coincidences in politics, ever. I don't believe that it's a coincidence. Not at all. And how is that like shocking to any lawmaker that any, I mean, we've been looking at developing such capabilities. So you would have to assume that others would also. Are they trying to just like push a space Cold War again? Star Wars all over again. The 80s are back, guys. Can we just go dispense with the 90s fashion and just go back to the 80s? Because it was so much better. I don't get it. I wanted to touch on this story because I mentioned how there have been all of these like weird, you know, we had the Carlson interview with Putin last week, and then he came out with a video this week where he was in a Russian supermarket. And I don't know if he went to several or if he just went to the one. And it made me think about Boris Yeltsin's trip to a Randall's supermarket in Texas. I don't know if you guys are aware of this story. It was a very interesting, it's a very interesting piece of history, and it actually ended up being incredibly life-changing for Boris Yeltsin. And this was, you know, kind of, because this was like rolling towards the, it was like the end of the Cold War. And this was after, you know, we were still really unaware of a lot with the Soviet economy, and Russia was still very, by design, most Russians had no idea about American economy because the stuff that they were shown was very carefully selected, and they just in Pravda, which, you know, were kind of, it's the name of a government publication, but it kind of represents all of the publications in Russia, was just, but they just specifically wanted to show you certain things, right? They wanted to show Russians certain things. They wanted to make America look bad and make it look like it was crowded and et cetera, et cetera. And so Boris Yeltsin, he was the first person to be president of the Russian Federation after the fall of the Soviet Union. And he had been a communist his whole entire life. I mean, he was basically the mayor of Moscow. He went up through the communist hierarchy, was a lifelong communist. And he, and this was in 89. I was in sixth grade when this happened. He came to the United States. And he was a member of the Russian legislature at the time, as I remember, but I don't think he had immediately taken over as president of the Federation. So it wasn't like a big state event. And so he was able to kind of do a lot more. He went to the Statue of Liberty. He went to all, like, you know, the Times Square, all this other stuff. And then they went to NASA in Houston. And he was touring the Space Center in Houston. And he had a really weird request when he was there. He wanted to go to a supermarket, not a big fancy, just any random supermarket. He wanted to go to a supermarket. And, you know, the guides that were there showing him around, they're like, okay, all right, well, we'll do it. We'll go and we'll have you go to a supermarket. And it was a very impromptu thing. And so they reached out to just like a random supermarket in Houston, and they reached out to Randall's Foods. And it was in Clear Lake, Texas. And they called the manager and they said, you're going to have a VIP who's going to be showing up in, you know, like a half hour. Just, you know, please be prepared. And, you know, then in comes Boris Yeltsin. You know, the manager comes out and at first he thought, and he wrote about this in his autobiography. At first he thought, and later realized, that it wasn't just a singular staged supermarket, that this was an average everyday supermarket in the United States of America. Because remember what I told you, Russian media was very careful in what they showed Russians, even other members of their communist party. They grew up not really knowing what the United States had, like what our supermarkets were like. And Yeltsin wrote in his autobiography, and there was a New York Times piece that when he passed that discussed this, and I'm not lionizing him, but I'm saying it changed his life. There are photos of him just slack-jawed, looking at produce, looking at all the stuff on the shelves. He couldn't get over, apparently, the frozen pudding pops. He was just shocked that, and he had said, quote, even the Politburo doesn't have this choice, not even Mr. Gorbachev, he said. And then he didn't believe that all of this stuff was for sale in the store. He was asking the manager all these questions, like, all of these things are for sale? This is not staged? And he couldn't believe that there were so many stores like this all around the United States, almost in, you know, multiple ones in every town. He couldn't get over that they had free cheese samples. They offered him a cheese sample, which he obligingly very happily took. He couldn't get over it. I mean, he was shocked. And he went around and he was asking the people questions. Some of the customers, he had an interpreter with him. He was asking them, what are you buying for your groceries? And can I ask you how much your groceries cost? And he had never seen literally anything like it in his life. And so after Houston, they were going to, I think it was Miami. And on the flight home, and again, this was all in his autobiography, because he wrote about this whole experience. He was in shock. He was quiet, very reflective. And at one point, he was said to have put his head in his hands and sobbed. He wrote this in his autobiography, quote, When I saw those shelves crammed with hundreds, thousands of cans, cartons, and goods of every possible sort, for the first time, I felt quite frankly sick with despair for the Soviet people, that such a potentially super-rich country as ours had been brought to a state of such poverty. It is terrible to think of it. He noted, like I said, that even the highest levels of the Communist Party didn't even have the choices that average everyday Americans had. His aide had said that the last vestige of Bolshevism collapsed inside of him when he stepped into the Randall's Food with Boris Yeltsin. And there are pictures that you can look at online if you Google it. And I think Randall's is now Food Town now. But there are photos you can look of Yeltsin in Moscow supermarkets. And they're very different from the photos of him in the Randall's, now the Food Town supermarket. And his view of the Communist Party and communism was destroyed by going to an American supermarket. He left the Communist Party 2 years after that. He began, and that's why he's viewed, that's why Putin hates him. I'm not celebrating Boris Yeltsin, but Putin hates him. And remember when Putin gave an interview and he was lamenting the fact that Russia lost its regalia as this iconic country from the era of Catherine the Great. He spoke of Yeltsin and what his view of what Yeltsin did to Russia very negatively. And 2 years after that supermarket trip, Yeltsin left the Communist Party and began pushing some very different, not very successfully, but began pushing some economic reforms in Russia. And he stepped down voluntarily from office, I think it was in 99, because they were going to prosecute him. And the only way that he could avoid that was to step down. And that's when Putin took over. And Putin previously was an aide to Yeltsin. And that Randall's supermarket apparently is still there. It's a Food Town now. They got bought out by Food Town. But I was thinking of this when I saw that video of Tucker Carlson in the supermarket at Moscow, because it is, I don't think every, from what I've heard, I don't think every supermarket's like that. And it seemed to be almost, I don't know, it seems like it's being promoted as a reversal of Yeltsin, right? But that's when it changed. That's when things really changed. And when Yeltsin began really pushing these reforms, that made a deep crack in the, not just the communist hierarchy, but the ideology. When you show people freedom, you cannot walk them back to a position of serfdom. When people taste real choice and real liberty, you will never force them to give it up. And just the seed of that was what Russia so carefully was trying to control. And I think still to an extent now. But it was a Randall's supermarket that broke Yeltsin. And I don't think any Moscow supermarket could ever reverse the opinion that an American has towards the Kremlin or their system of governance.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We need to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, require safe storage of guns, pass a national red flag law, enact universal background checks, and invest in proven solutions that reduce violence.
None of this would have done a singular damn thing. None of this would have done. That's KJP just moments ago. It was minors involved in a dispute. That sounds like gang violence. And what law would make the illegal purchase? What law would make illegal purchase or any of this stuff illegaler? Like murder, even. Like what law would make murder illegal? You know what I mean? Like, this is so goofy. They keep promoting the same stuff over and over again. And this, they say nothing at all whatsoever. What gets me is none of these Democrats ever say anything about The restorative justice rot of lefty DAs and judges that reduce penalties and drop charges, the lack of parental involvement, things that actually drive these tragedies. More on this tomorrow. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right, it is Janet Yellen. This is Cut 11-1. She thinks we're all better off than we were pre-pandemic. Listen to this.
Are you and President Biden happy with where inflation is right now?
Well, look, we know that Americans are experiencing discomfort because some important prices are higher than they were pre-pandemic. But what I think is really important is that wages have gone up along with prices.
I keep saying that. Sorry. So the uptick in inflation far outpaced wages. Sorry.
Yeah, completely. Folks, that does it for us for our program today. Have a great night. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe, Substack, Chapter and Verse. I'll be back with you tomorrow.